Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We finally get to do one of these after a win,
yeah.
huh? And
yeah.
after a dominant
Somebody
win.
Somebody might get better than a C-. Yeah. I'm excited.
A lot of them. Yeah. A lot of them, actually. We'll start, as always, at the quarterback position. Brock Purdy did not play the whole game at quarterback because the Niners were up by so much that Brandon Allen came in. And he threw an interception, by the way. But Brock Purdy was very good in this football game, efficient as he has been all year. Maybe underthrew a couple of passes, so I can't give him an A+, but it was an A performance for Brock Purdy on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I don't do A+s, but if I did A+s, I probably wouldn't give him one for the same reason. It wasn't so much the Garendo underthrow, because that was just a beautiful blooper throw that he made. It was the one to Juwan where if he could have stepped into that one, that would have been a touchdown. Garendo caught the one and rolled about 6 yards to the 1 yard line, but those are throws that are just spectacular, especially the Garendo one. I can't wait to ask Cosell about that, because I think that was one where he changed the play at the line of scrimmage and he got Garendo one-on-one, and that was just an unbelievable throw.
So what grade are you settling on?
An A.
Oh, that's, you're giving him an A?
An absolute A, yeah.
Okay. Everybody mark today down. Write it down. I am
down
gonna
on
give
Brock?
Brock Purdy the lowest grade of the group.
It's crazy.
What is happening right now?
Whoa! I'm wrong
not
with you.
I'm not ready to give him an A because of this and this alone. And it'll be, you want to call it an A-, B+. Brock was fantastic. I'm not taking that away. And I'm not bothered by a couple missed throws. I'd argue we're the only fan base in America that their quarterback can go 20 to 25, go for over 300 yards, not turn the ball over, win by 3 touchdowns, and we show up Monday morning and we can remember all 5 incompletions and we are mad about them. It's really stupidity. It really is, in my opinion. However, I'm not bothered by the incompletions. I'm bothered by one of the completions. And he can't do this. Do you remember the play very early in the game where he was rushed right in his face and he threw sidearm underneath the defenders, the play that popped straight up in the air.
Juwan got it.
You can't do that. That's the crap that turns into pick sixes. And you've got to find a different way to have that jailbreak, get rid of the ball thing instead of throwing it into a collection of arms. It's what he did in Minnesota and turned into a pick, and you lost the game by 6. That's the play that I would love to see Brock get rid of. And for me, I knock him down a few points for it.
Wow. Harsh.
All right?
That's rough.
That's that.
That's rough.
You don't come into my grade book.
Up next, skill positions. That's wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. George Kittle was obviously incredible in this game. Juwan Jennings had a couple of touchdowns. Isaac Garendo, before he got hurt, was getting over 5 per carry. Even Patrick Taylor came in, had himself a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Deebo Samuel wasn't impressed once again. Ricky Pearsall had a hole that took away a touchdown, also slipped on a route. Overall, 4 skill positions, an A minus for the group.
I'm going to give them an A. I was not bothered by Deebo Samuel's performance. I didn't see anything, for instance, again, like if he gets tackled a yard behind the line of scrimmage, I don't blame Deebo for that. There were no drops. There's going to be a miscommunication here or there. I'm certainly not going to get on someone for slipping on natural grass. What I saw were skill position players that made all the plays that were available. The team moved up and down the field. They got a huge lead early. They held on to it. I really didn't see any of those players do anything that was worth a demerit. I give them an A.
I had an A- as well, and I like that you pointed out the Pearsall. And also, I'm sorry, but someone's got to say it. Keyshawn Vaughn, you got to do more with your two carries.
Yeah, only 2 yards a pair, only 2 yards a carry. Not
unacceptable.
Great. Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Up next is the offensive line. Interesting because they were down to both their second string left tackle and left guard to begin the game. And then Ben Bartsch goes down. So the Niners down to their third string left guard for the majority of this game. But all in all, it was still a relatively successful day for the O-line. They opened up holes in the run game all game long. I felt Brock Purdy was pressured still a decent amount, even though the sack numbers weren't there for the Bears defense. A B-plus for the offensive line.
Yeah, I gave him an A-minus because of everything you said. The one that kind of got me is when Brock took that absolutely massive hit in the fourth quarter,
yep,
where he was kind of tangled down low and then he got bent all the way back. That was a scary, scary hit. But you're right, Grandy, they didn't have what they had one sack, I think, on the day, and the offensive line only had a couple of penalties. So I thought it was one of their best games overall. And you mentioned the Ben Bartsch injury, and he was already the backup, so you had to go even deeper. Spencer Burford sighting. And he came in and did pretty well. It was a good game for the O-line.
Yeah, I give him an A. Again, like, I just don't think it's fair to look at an offensive line and be like, there was a sack. Like, I mean, you can't win every single individual battle throughout the game. What I saw as a collective was Brock Purdy had time. He had time a lot. The running backs had holes. Like, largely they did their – I look for two things with the offensive line. Does the quarterback have time, and did you not commit penalties? And for me, both of those were A-level work. So, yeah, the big guys get an A from me.
Let's switch over to the defensive side of the football. We begin with the front seven. That's the defensive linemen and the linebacking core. If I can split this up into two groups, I thought the D-line was absolutely awesome in this game. Of course, you had Yetur Gross-Matos, who had three sacks. You had Leonard Floyd, who had two sacks. Even Malik Collins from the interior with a sack as well. I wasn't overly impressed with what the linebacking group did, so the front seven as a whole gets an A, but that is buoyed by an incredible performance by the D-line.
Yeah, I'm gonna move that down a little bit. B plus, because like you said, like I just, first of all, the defense gave up 2 yards in the first half. So we can say that largely everybody was doing their job, but I am much more impressed by the defensive line. And look, they don't have their best pass rusher, so I acknowledge that too. But I also think that some of the success the D-line had was because of young player mistakes by Caleb Williams. I think a more experienced quarterback doesn't get sacked nearly as many times. They did have time to get rid of the ball in a lot of cases. So some of those were coverage sacks or young quarterback sacks. But it's all nitpicking. But yeah, B-plus for me for that group.
So far, this grade book is like my kids' grades in high schools. It's straight A's right now. Today, for the front seven, 7 sacks, and Caleb Williams didn't have a chance to beat you with his legs. And also, it needs to be said that Devondre Campbell had probably his best game as a 49er. Devondre Campbell, again, played very well. He had 7 tackles as a linebacker. Didn't make any real coverage mistakes. The front seven was awesome in this game. It's an A.
I thought there was one moment where Caleb Williams was able to break a tackle of Fred Warner. I don't know if you saw after the fact when Caleb Williams spun around him. The two were kind of jawing after the fact. It wasn't Fred Warner's best game either, but we know he's playing with a broken ankle. Up next is the secondary. Good to see Talanoa Hufanga back. Made a couple of plays, playing with a club on his hand. That was fun to see. And then there was a moment in the second half where Malik Mustafa goes out and he was shaken up for a little bit, and Jair Brown had to come back in, and Jair Brown immediately gets beat over the middle for a Rome Odunze touchdown, his second. Odunze also beat Mooney Ward for a very nice touchdown in the back right corner of the end zone. Secondary was good, not great. A B for me for the secondary.
That's the letter that I had in mind. It was nothing disastrous, but a couple of touchdowns for Rome Odunze, and I am now officially in the uncomfortable zone with Jair Brown.
Yep.
And that's terrifying because Hufanga gets hurt a lot, and it's a young group, and they've suffered injuries and all kinds of problems in that group, and so their depth at that position is severely challenged right now. And to know that they're going to constantly be one play away from relying on him is a scary thought. He's had a very poor season, and it was not a great game there. But the rest of the group was really strong.
Yeah, A minus for me. Only 2 mistakes in the plays that you pointed out. They had no explosives in the pass game. They had no completions for more than 20 yards. And Jair Brown gets beat by Rome Odunze for the touchdown, but we already were in garbage time mode, so plays are going to happen against your secondary. Other than that, they were spectacular. You mentioned Hufanga and Mustafa in run support, again, rolling up. I thought the defense was so aggressive and so strong early in the game, and that was the secondary as well. in run support, I gave him an A-.
Yeah, first half especially, man, they were so good everywhere. Up next is special teams, and surprise, surprise, worst grade of the day goes to special teams. A C- for me. I know there wasn't anything terrible, but you had multiple penalties on kickoffs, and this is still a group that just cannot get out of its way with making simple mistakes that almost few other teams in the NFL make on a consistent basis.
I wasn't as offended as a C-, but I will go C+, because as you said, there's no disaster, but Kyle Shanahan addressed it today. If anybody wants to know why Jake Moody twice couldn't get his kickoffs to the 20-yard line, you want to know what he said? Just straight shanked him. He shanked him. He shanked a ball that's not moving with nobody rushing him. He shanked him, and he did it twice. We are officially, I know a lot of you have already been there for a while, we are officially in the I do not know about Jake Moody zone, a third-round draft pick just a year ago. It's leaning in the wrong direction with regard to Jake Moody right now, in my opinion.
Special teams had a great game relative to what they've done all year. I gave
That's
him a
true.
B.
That's a low bar.
They have a new punter. Mitch Wishnowsky will not be back as the punter. Pat O'Donnell is a better punter. He's more consistent, and he was able to pin Chicago inside the 10-yard line again. The Jake Moody kickoff is a bit of a curiosity. I think one of them, he was trying to bounce it, and he didn't get it to the kicking zone, but other than that, Jacob Cowing was fine on punt returns, didn't fumble. And I know I'm setting the bar extraordinarily low, but this is what we've had all year. I gave him a solid B.
Fair enough. If you're grading on a curve, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And last but not least is coaching. I'll be quick. They finally break their streak of me giving them Fs. And A for the coaching staff.
Yep.
Saw some creativity. I saw the juice from the opening kickoff from the very beginning. This was a well-prepared team. It was a well-coached game. Shanahan going for it on fourth and short. Shanahan making the right calls on two of his three challenges. A good game from Shanahan.
And even at that, when he challenged the spot, he probably knew he was going to lose, but he was going to call timeout anyway. So you might as well challenge it. You're going to call timeout to set the right play or make sure that you know what you're going to do on fourth down. So even that one didn't bug me. And guess what? They ran screens, Mark. They ran a couple of screens. They ran a couple of draws. I've been waiting all year for that. Shanahan had a great day of calling plays. And, you know, give Sorensen credit. His defense came out, and they were revved up.
I co-sign on it all. I've said a couple times, Kyle Shanahan's best play calling day of the year. And while Nick Sorensen still didn't get too creative, he was right, at least in this one, that he didn't have to. So I'll co-sign on that and give the coaching staff an A. Good stuff, Grandy.